Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm not moved by what I see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to enjoy tonight's message with you because it's unfolding even now. And I've got several other messages that I already have prepared that'd be easier, but that's just not what he wants. So what we want is what he wants. Is that okay? Now, I did a message last Sunday night, the last time I did a Sunday night service here, and the title, I think, went something like, Don't Reason Against God's Truth. All day long today, there's been three verses rolling on the ends, or at least portions of verses rolling on the inside of me. The first one is from John 17. I don't have them printed or anything. You can do your homework later. But Jesus said, Father, thy word is truth. Remember that? So that gives you some insight into when Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, why? Because every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is truth. Isn't that right? So, let me just, okay, this is not a test really. Who do you think really knows the truth? Us or God? Pretty sure it's God. Okay? You know, in Isaiah, he said, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. We keep being limited by what we perceive as being truth. They're really facts. I mean, you know, we have the laws of physics. I'm an engineer by training. I've had too much training in the laws of physics. I know all about, or not all about, I know a lot about it. Force equals MA, you know, mass times acceleration and so forth. Like we can do a lot of things like that. But God's truth overrides. There is a truth of God that is higher than man's facts. I have the most downloaded, most popular message I ever preached was one called Truth Changes Fact. And it's absolutely true. Fact, according to man, you can't change water into wine. Does that match God's truth? No. Man can't walk on water. Does that match God's truth? How about a dead man can't rise again? Talk to Lazarus. Well, anyway. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, we're going somewhere. Here's the three statements. Thy word is truth. Then Jesus said, this keeps bubbling up in me. Jesus said, I am the truth. Remember that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. But let's focus on the truth. Father, thy word is truth. Jesus, I am the truth. And what is he called? In the beginning was the... He is the truth. He is the perfect... I like to say it, he is the word with legs. He's the word that we can see, not just read off a page. But when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see the word, which means you're seeing truth. You're seeing a man who operates in truth, not facts. Isn't that right? Is that okay with that? You okay with that sentence? I am the truth. Now here's the thing. Truth is in you. The whole mystery of the gospel. The mystery, Paul said, had been hidden from the foundation of the world. He's been now released to teach Christ in you. The hope of glory. Now we're going somewhere. So first it was, Father, thy word is truth. Second, I am the truth. Then the third one, I'm sending you the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will never bring you anything but truth. In Romans chapter 8, don't turn there. Again, okay. Normally he lets me process these for about 3 years before I teach them. But that's not what's happening right now. Romans chapter 8, it says the Spirit, it should be a capital S in this one, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What's He bearing witness to? We are the children of God. Now that is the truth. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit would not and could not bear witness to it. So that's the truth. And God's question is, why do we keep arguing against that? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't like walking up here without any notes, Lord. He said, I don't care, do it anyway. Okay. Lord, what would you have me do? Go up there and meditate in front of them. This is what I do for a living. I meditate the Word of God. Download. This is what I do. But I usually get to do it at home first. He's not willing to wait on this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, very popular, where you've heard many messages from this passage, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, well, all of us know what that means. We're all wearing flesh, aren't we? But we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but notice they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What does that mean? Well, Dave would always say a stronghold. He said that's a pattern of thought empowered by emotions that do not line up with the truth of God's Word. That's a stronghold. Something that's holding you back. Something that you believe that God doesn't believe. I'm going to ask you again, who knows the truth? You or God? See, and if we have a stronghold that keeps us from believing what God says is true, well, God's not going to change. Truth is not going to change. That stronghold has to come down. And God's given us weapons to pull it down. So, next verse, he starts talking about that. Well, how do I get rid of this? How do I pull down a stronghold? Well, you have to cast down imaginations. Now, okay, let's stop for a moment. Imagination. That's something that you're seeing or perceiving on the inside of you, but it's not real. But in your imagination it is. And don't get me wrong, those can be very powerful. Dave, the first time he brought it home to me, you know, people that have claustrophobia, they can be confined like you could lock them in a closet. And there is nothing dangerous in that closet. There's nothing that will hurt them. There's nothing attacking them. There's no tiger in the closet, you know. But if they genuinely have a stronghold, if they have real claustrophobia, do you know they can die? The imagination that's in them, it can be so empowered by emotions, it causes their heart to race, they can literally die. And it's from something that wasn't even real. See, the reason this is important to us, we are going into revival. But we've got to go into, we're going into a supernatural revival. Not a man-made scheduled thing. Not a thing that man devises. Not we're going to schedule an evangelist to come on a certain night. We may schedule that, but it's got nothing to do with the revival, really. If we're going to do that, we have to be a people who not only knows the truth, but walks in the truth. Well, for all of us, there's imaginations. Casting down, what do you do with those? What does it say to do with them? Cast them down. Very good. Got a good student over here. You get an A+. Give her a star by her name today, Angie. I'm a teacher. You got to cast them down. See, all right. Now let's just take one. God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are a new creature. But if you're I'll use me. He's always mean to me and nice to you and me. So Gary wakes up in the morning and there's 14 devils sitting on his bed waiting for my eyes to open. And the first thing say, you're a loser and a failure every day of your life. I know that never happens to any of you. Plus, God forgot all my sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. But I'm telling you right now, the devil kept a copy. He kept a scrapbook of all my failings. And it's not every day, but many times, I just, first thing right out, it's like they're waiting for me to wake up. Sometimes they get in my dreams before I wake up. But anyway, you're a failure, you're a loser, you're no good, you're scum, God hates you, forget it. And how far you want to take it, sir? Now, those are, imagine, if I receive that, and I'll tell you, there's been times that I've had bad days from no other reason than that kind of foolishness right there. And I hate to say foolishness. This is Gary's version of dealing with depression. He didn't use the word depression. What did he use? Discouragement, which leads to depression. See, I have to cast that down. And I mean literally. And for me, I can't do it with thinking. I have to do it with speaking. Now, I don't do it while I'm in the same bed with Sue. I don't want to wake Sue up. I'm an early riser. So I get up. I do make it to the living room. Sometimes I have to go outside because sometimes I have to get loud. But I have learned I cannot think away those things. People ask all the time, can I just think in tongues? Do I have to actually say the tongues? 1 Corinthians 14:2 does not say, he that thinks in an unknown tongue. No, you don't complete the circuit till you speak. How did Jesus do it when the enemy was firing the fiery darts at him? He did not think it away. He spoke it away. You need to understand the shield of faith involves your mouth. If you're going to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, you need to do it exactly the way that Jesus did it. It is, say it out loud. What you say, the truth. See, what did he say? Everything he said, he quoted truth. Enemy, that's a lie. This is the truth. Enemy, that fiery dart, that's a lie. This is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. You liking it? You can't think it away, though. I've tried that. Happy thoughts, happy thoughts. Casting down imaginations. Now, it's not just that. And every high thing that exalts itself. Now, what's it exalting against? The knowledge of God. Let me say it a different way. Every high thing that exalts itself against what God knows to be true. You know what God knows to be true? And I'm preaching to me as much to Leonard and anybody else in here that's Alan. Here's truth. With his stripes, you were healed. Is that ever going to change? I have to cast down every imagination. I have to get that word in my mouth. Reprogram my brain. Renew my mind. We've all been trained by the facts of this world. And it's a process to have your mind renewed to the Word of God, where you cast down every thought. I love how that's worded. Every high thing. College education, where they tell you, this is possible and this is not possible. That's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If I'd believe that, I'd still be taking that heart medication that they told me, because I had the world says, Gary, you have an incurable heart disease. God does not believe in incurable heart diseases. Confessing his word over a 2-year span, I'm really shortening that, but I received that healing in May of 1998. Can you tell this has been a spell? What is this, 2019? Can you tell I'm still here? Hello? And I haven't had a dose of that medicine since May of 1998. Now, if I went to the doctors and they examined me, I don't know what they would say. And I don't care what they would say. I really don't care. With his stripes, I was healed. And I'm casting down anything else to the contrary. Now, I tried to do that without renewing my mind first. A guy came and gave his testimony how a healed man doesn't take medicine. He flushed his medicine down the toilet and he's been healed ever since. So I went home, flushed my medicine down the toilet. 7 days later, I nearly died. Went and talked to Dave. Dave says, God is not obligated to manifest your healing because you flushed your medicine down the toilet. God is obligated to manifest your healing the instant you believe his word. Gary, what you need to do is take your own medicine. You need to do what you preach. Go get that prescription refilled and take it just like the doctor says. But every time you take it, you speak the word of God over yourself. You take your godly medicine with your physical medicine. Well, at that time, I was taking four of those doses a day. So I got my little Charles Capps healing book. Y'all know the little dollar book. I think Doug's got one in his pocket right now. I think they're probably $3 today, but anyway. And you don't have to get that book. It's just you can get three scriptures. That's one. With his stripes you were healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I mean, just get you three of them. And why three? By two or three witnesses, let every word, let every truth be established. I like to have at least three. Okay. And I like one of them at least to be from the Old Testament. All right. So I started doing that. It's good to listen to your pastor. Why does God give us pastors? Well, I'm going to ignore what he said. No. If you go to your pastor and he gives you godly counsel, you're supposed to listen. So I did just that. I went and got the prescription and I took it just like it said. But every time, I'd quote those three verses. And the devil would tell me it wasn't doing nothing. That I'd have to take that medicine the rest of my life. But I did it, and I did it, thank God. Dave taught us to have no quitting sense. And you guys have heard the whole story. Progressively, over a two-year period, God weaned me off of that medicine. I was getting ready to go get it filled again. I ran, used it all up in May of 1998. And God says, you're healed, you'll never need it again. And I never have. Now, I have had the devil circle back around twice in all these years and try and put those symptoms back on me. But by this time, I grew up a little. And I knew what to do, and I run him off with my mouth. I run him off with the word of God, just like Jesus did. No. Get. No. You're not allowed here. In Jesus' name, with his stripes, I'm healed. We're casting down imaginations. And every high thing. I don't care if it's a college education. I don't care what it is. See, the world thinks it's so smart. And it's stupid compared to God. It's just plain these intellectual reading on. Think they know so much. God loves them to pieces. And he's going, would you please just believe me? Because I know the truth. Let us not reason against what God knows to be true. Let's go on a little more here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, I love this one. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, that starts with righteousness when you get born again. You start bringing every thought. In fact, let's go to Ephesians. Chapter 4. I mentioned these verses this morning. We're going to look at the putting off and the putting on. We're exhorted in Ephesians to put off and put on, and this is written to Christians. So Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 21. We'll start in verse 22. That you put off. See that put off? That you put off. Concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, Alan and Nathan and I and many other, we've all been teaching for years, your flesh did not get saved when you got saved. My flesh is the same old flesh it always was. It'll get drunk if I let it. It'll get high if I let it. And it's okay with all of that. My flesh would, no matter... I'm older now, but my flesh would sleep around if I let it. It would do anything. There's a war. Read Galatians chapter 5. Your flesh wants things that are opposite to what your righteous spirit wants. So we're told, put off. Don't walk according to this old man. Okay? See that? Put off concerning the former conversation is not talking about talk here so much. It's your manner of life. Put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now skip verse 23 for a minute. Verse 22, we're putting off something. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man. Well, what's he like? Well, he's created after God. See that? Which after God? That means in his image. When you get born again, it's Genesis 1:26 all over again. We're three times in two consecutive verses there. God says, in the image of God created he man. When you got born again, God recreated your spirit in the image of Christ. Whew. Glory to God. Excuse me. My feet are wanting to take off right there. See, I don't look like it, but I'm running on the inside right now. Glory to God. It's Genesis all over again. But anyway, but see, that it's not enough to have him just on the inside. I need to put him on and to put off this old man and the way he lived and put on this new man, which is made after the image of Christ. And how do I do that? Well, the connecting verse is verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now that renewal over in to the Romans, I'll read it to you. To the Romans, he said it same thing, but he said it a little different way. There he said, be not conformed to Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Well, that's the old man. Don't be like that. Don't be like the world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. What if I said it this way? You're going to have to, your mind has to come to the place where it believes the truth that God believes is truth. You got to agree with what God says is true. You got to renew your mind. And as you do that, then you prove. Then you're able to walk the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now back to Ephesians here. Verse 22 again. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's say it this way. I have cast down every imagination. I'm in the process, at least, of casting down every imagination and every high thinking that is contrary to what God knows is true. I'm in the process of renewing my mind to think truth. Because God's word is truth, and I'm commanded to live by every word of God. Anytime I find my mind not agreeing with what God says is true, I go to war against that thought because it's a stronghold. It's keeping me back from God's best. And I want God's best, not just for my life. I want it for revival. I want to get the little kids. See, God's truth is we're supposed to get the kids out of St. Jude's Hospital, the children's hospital here in Tulsa. Don't tell me it's not. I don't believe for a second Jesus would walk by any one of those kids and leave them the way they are. I don't believe that at all. He healed them all. If he was having his meetings here today, if he was still on the earth and having meetings and you could get your 5-year-old cancer child to him, are you telling me he'd send them home with cancer? He would not. Okay. Get to preach on me just a little. But my mind has got to believe what he says. I need to stop reasoning against what God knows is truth because he can't change. He can't even compromise it a little bit. And he's given us the spirit of truth. See, thy word is truth. I am the truth. Well, the truth is in me now. See, Christ in me. He is the truth. But then he says, I want to send you the spirit of truth. And he only witnesses to the truth. He doesn't even compromise it a little bit. He's not gray, trust me. The Holy Spirit is not gray. The Holy Spirit is black and white. He is. Knife edge, truth. Amen? He does not coddle unbelief. A lot of people don't like that. Now, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, keep that thought. We're supposed to put something on, right? Now, come on over to chapter 6 of the same book. Keep that thought. We put on, supposed to put on this new man. And look at chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. telling you right now, that's how you put on the new man. But I want to back up one verse. Verse 10. Finally, he just means in conclusion, based on everything that I have written in this letter, which we don't have time in 15 minutes to review even. But based on everything that I have already written to you, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me ask you, you think we're going to have revival any other way? We're going to have it in the power of Mary's might, Angie's might. Go forth, Gary, in Gary's might. No revival there. No, it says, he's telling us right here how you do it. Finally, my brethren, based on everything that he's written, and he wrote a lot. Ephesians is probably the most, one of the higher revelation books in the Bible. This is not a baby church like Corinth. Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I keep needing to hammer this home. What He's about to tell us is not how you walk strong in your might. What He's about to tell us is how you walk strong in His might. You got that? This is important. All right. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle. What if we said, for we battle? Is that okay? Remember the document I read this morning by Pastor Bronk? We battle not against flesh and blood. We're not. In Joshua's day, they literally fought against the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Amorites. They literally fought flesh and blood. We're not in that battle. No. We're fighting against satanic forces. Can you tell there's satanic forces at loose in America? Darkness is doing its best to take over this nation. Coming against every truth of the Word of God. Just there's a principalities and it's a structure. Dave taught eloquently on all of that. There's a power structure in the kingdom of darkness. Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and so forth. That's who we're really battling. But it starts one-on-one with you. And I got to tell you this, the devil's really been defeated in your life. But who you're really battling is your own flesh. But let me stay with this. But ultimately, we're supposed to... Yes, sir. See, you know we're supposed to win over the flesh? You know that battle is not supposed to take 25 years? We're supposed to conquer that and move into this battle. The battle against... Can I say the battle for our nation? And here we are we're still playing with sin. Watching too much TV. Should I have a second slice of pie? At my age, the answer is always no, by the way, unless you're my mama. My mama can eat 9 slices of pie. 98, you don't argue with mama. But you know what I'm saying? Battles with my flesh. We're supposed to move on from there, please. That's not where he needs us to get done with that and move into the real war. Okay, so let me focus on this. For we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, in order to do that, now, I want to link this up with put on. Remember, he says back there in 4, he said, put on the new man. Here he says, put on the whole armor. Well, this is how you put on the new man. Okay? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, now here it is, the very first one. Having your loins girt about with what? Truth. I'm going to say it again. Father, thy word is truth. Jesus, I am the truth. And the truth is in you because Christ is in you. Then he sent us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Why? To guide us into all the truth. He's not wanting us to be born again and battling our little flesh like that's our whole war. He's wanting us to conquer the flesh, walk as he walked, and get on with the real warfare against principalities and powers. And so start setting the captives free. Just look at what Jesus did, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and with power who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil, principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. People are held in bondage everywhere. We're supposed to go be setting the captives free, not forever wrestling with our little flesh. It's fasting season. What kind of message did you expect? But notice the very first one, having your loins girt about with truth. I taught a little bit of this up in Canada, deepest, darkest Canada. See, thy word is truth. Listen, I wrote, trust nothing else. Don't trust your own reasonings. God says, I can't turn to all these scriptures. He didn't let me prepare ahead of time, so you'll do your homework later. You know it as well as I do. It says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. It says glass in the King James. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Now the devil is going to hold up a different mirror to you all the time. He's going to hold up your fact mirror. He's going to hold up your history mirror. He's going to hold up your failings mirror. He's going to hold up, even when you didn't, maybe you slightly disobeyed God yesterday, he's going to hold that one up too. That's the mirror he wants you looking in. Because he wants you seeing yourself as a failure, never measuring up, always a failure. Okay? That is not the mirror you're supposed to be looking in. It says, beholding as in a mirror, what are you supposed to see in that mirror? There's actually people here. The glory of the Lord. Because that is who you really are. Isn't it going to be horrible if, I'm going to talk about me and not you, if Gary makes it to heaven and God says, well, why didn't you conquer your flesh in that area? It just picks up, you know, in that. You had in fill in the blank. Why didn't you conquer your flesh in the blank area? And if Gary's stupid enough to say something like, well, I kept waiting on you to give me the strength to do it. He's going to go, I told you to cast down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against what I know to be truth. Here's the truth. I gave it to you. And I told you I gave it to you. I told you plainly in multiple places, you have been made free from sin. But you chose to believe your flesh instead of my word. And you continued to yield to it. You never brought down that stronghold that exalted itself against what I know is true. It was true the whole time. What I told you, Gary, was truth. You were free from the day you got born again. You mean Nathan was right? I'm sorry. How dare he know that at his 30s? I slapped that fat right out of his face. Anyway, in love, you know. Come here. Now, does that apply to healing? You watch me. I'm still battling my back with some things. Okay? You know why? I'm always mean to me and nice to you. Because I'm still believing a lie. I'm believing something that God knows is not true. What evidence do you have? Pain? I have physical pain. It's a good preacher, by the way. It preaches nonstop, 24/7, unless I'm asleep. Yeah, it's always preaching. And if I don't do anything different than what I've done, I'll walk that way, or it'll probably get worse. But I'm not going to continue that. See, putting off and putting on, what was the sandwich? Putting off is the bread on one side, putting on is the bread on the other side of the sandwich. What was the meat in the middle? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If I want to put off and put on. Now specifically, we're talking about sin today, but it comes with anything that God knows is true. And it's time to stop resisting that. Cast it down and do it with words. You can't win this. Jesus didn't win it by thinking, and neither will you. He spoke it. He spoke the word. It is written. It is written. See, every time my back preaches to me, what am I supposed to do? It is written. With His stripes, I was healed. The Lord is my healer. He blesses my bread and blesses my water. He takes sickness away from the midst of me. And I could just go verse after verse. And I should go verse after verse. And if I do go verse after verse, I will put off and I will put on. And I'll come walking in here straight as I should be. Amen? Now that applies to everything. Your finances, conquering sin, everything. That's why we, at Calling in the Lost, that's why we do what we do. Just take about 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the end of it to just say what God has said about this church. Just call those things which be not as though they were. Because we're to cast down. And the very first one is truth. Let's go. What does truth say about, okay, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. So everything starts with truth. Father, thy word is truth. Christ in me is truth. The Holy Spirit is going to lead me into all. All right. Well, what does all that have to say about the breastplate of righteousness? I have to have it on, not just have it within. Well, I know that you made me righteous, but come on, you know my life. You haven't put on that righteousness yet. See, God says you have been made the righteousness of God. If you flip that around, let me ask you this. None of us have a problem understanding that we were made to be sinners by what Adam did. I mean, I know I was a sinner. I was made that way. My parents did not have to teach me how to sin. I've never met a parent yet, and I'm not saying there isn't any, but I've never met one yet that taught their child to lie. But I've never met a child who didn't. Where does that come from? We were made sinners by the work of one man. His name was Adam. But the same way, in the same way, through the work of another man named Jesus, we were made the righteousness of God in Him. I have to believe that. My flesh preaches different all the time. Gary, you need 3 cheeseburgers, not just one. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's a lie, that it's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. I love that document I read about the battle-hardened soldier, you know. He doesn't need as much food as normal people. He doesn't even eat for pleasure. He eats to maintain his energy, to accomplish his mission. Good Lord, if we get a hold of that. Man. So you have been made righteous. You are a child of light. And you are to walk as a child of light. You will not be drawn away into sin. Why? Because you have cast down those imaginations and every high thing. I used to think I could not quit smoking. Y'all know I smoked forever in 3 days, even after I was saved. And I look back on it and I'm so stupid that I did that. And it's, you know, I could blame. The blame game does not help you. Because God has already given every one of us, especially in America, you have a Bible. Most of you have several. Most of you have several on your phone. Different translations. What are we going to do? Say, I didn't have your word? No, I don't think that's going to fly. See? And I look back on it now, how stupid can you be and still breathe? Because why did I believe I was not free? Well, every time I'd try and quit, the withdrawals would hit me really hard. And they would say, in essence, see, you are not free. And I'd go, yeah, you're right. And like a stupid Gary. I go another week, another month, another year, continuing to smoke, waiting for the day I'd get free. And the whole time I was free, I was simply not pulling down the stronghold. And the high thing, what was the high thing here? The withdrawal symptoms that was telling me I was not free. And I chose to believe that rather than what the Word says. But see, Romans 6 is never going to change. You have been made free from sin. Now it's your choice. Once I really understood that, the war was on then. And my flesh did not give up easily. I still don't like fasting. I still don't like it. But I'm doing more of it than I've ever done in my life. Why? I'm tired of believing my flesh. I am not a weak, barely make it, no strength Christian who can't conquer my flesh. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, how do I have this righteousness? Is it something I developed on my own? I have received the free gift of God, the gift of righteousness by grace alone. The moment I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the gift of righteousness. He quickened my spirit from death to life. I live now by the very righteousness of Christ who lives on the inside of me. It's not my strength. He didn't say be strong in your strength. He said be strong in the Lord. How do I have righteousness? Because Christ in me is my righteousness. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, the feet are wanting to run again right there. See, that's the truth. Gary, are you perfectly walking that? No. Don't want to add lying to everything else. No, but I'm sure walking higher than I used to. I'm walking more narrow than I used to, and I'll be walking more narrow the next time you see me. Every time I think my path has got really narrow, I pray enough to find out wider than I thought. Have y'all been fine? Y'all laughed. Is that the truth with you guys too? Okay, good. It's not just me. I think, man, my path has really gotten narrow. And you pray a little while and you go, oh God. Narrower some more. Boy, he's talking here lately. You just see what he's saying. You have erected by my spirit these walls of revelation knowledge, just as your pastor instructed over these years, and roof questions that you've had your whole life. We're now coming into a season, says the Lord, where I can answer those rough questions. And as they are answered, you will never be the same. The region around you will never be the same. For truly, as I said, you are the light of the world and you are my hope in the earth. Christ in you has come to conquer all that is not of me, says the Lord. Glory. Feet, stay, I said. Obey me. Oh, I'm going to spill my water and be baptized and everything here, glory to God. We had a baptismal service. Hallelujah. God, boy, that was good. I can't wait to get home and hear that again. Glory to God. So, I guess this is still, he's still talking about, he's wanting us to come to the place where we stop reasoning against that which God knows to be true. Because He can't change. He cannot lie. I mean, He is truth. He cannot lie. The devil's not going to change. The Word's not going to change. That only leaves one entity left, and that's us. But see, that's good news. Because we can change. I'm going to recommend again to you the 1 John Confessions. Nothing has strengthened me so much in these last few years as those First John confessions, and they're at my website. You can go to GaryCarpenter.org, go to media, you'll see a list. One of them is the First John series, and at the very top, there's a PDF you can print out called the First John Confessions. If I hadn't have taught so long, we'd do them again tonight, but every sentence is pure truth. It's good to renew your mind with that and pray much in the Holy Ghost. What did he exhort today in this morning service? Be sure and do. Draw near to him by doing worship, praying in the Spirit, stay in the Word, and continue to fast. Our best days, it's right in front of us. We've not really even begun to see. How did Dave say that? We're going to be happy campers. Happy campers. Amen. All right.